seated.
Let's begin by asking the Lord to speak to all of us. Is that okay with you? Why don't we all stand up and pray? And remain standing. Father God in heaven, what a joy it is to be together, to worship you, to sing praises to you. And now as part of our worship service, we now want to listen to your words. Lord, it is my prayer that you will speak in and through each one of us, through your Holy Spirit. Give all of us a humble heart to learn from you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will override my own preparation. I pray for all our guests who are hurting, who are discouraged, that you will be the one to meet their needs this morning. Speak to all of us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please sit down. What is the difference between the first century believers, the first century followers of Jesus, and Christians today? What do you think is the main difference? Ang tanong ko sa Tagalog, ano bang pag-iiba? What is the difference between the first century followers of Jesus and many Christians today? What is the difference? There are many, but in your mind, what's the main difference? I have one word I want to share with you. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? For example, if you study the first century believers, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is normal. It's a way of life. For example, Acts 4:31. Everybody, let's read. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, etc., etc. You read the book of Acts, and you will see the early followers of Jesus, they experience and they continue to be full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible talks about fullness of joy. This morning is going to be part one of our Holy Spirit series. Next week, I'm going to continue. And Lord willing, I want us to be prepared when we move to the new place. Do you know when we are moving to the new place? Do you know when? You know why? Only the Lord knows. However, I want us to pray that we can move in. Okay, pray only. Okay, pray. The only reason why we don't want to set that date, we want to make sure the place is ready, in top shape. It is clean. All the toilets are functioning. All the elevators are working. But can you pray with me that we will move in by April 14? Okay? Yeah. You pray. Now, if we don't move in by April 14, don't be angry at anybody. But let's pray for that. Okay with you? April 14, the D-Day, we will move in to what God has promised us for many years. Amen? But in order to move in properly, I believe God is preparing His people, all of you, to experience what it means to be intimate with God, to know Him, and to make Him known. The last thing I want to do is to make that place a monument. It is not going to be a monument. CCF, New Worship Training Center, is a movement. It's a movement of God's people to be contagious, to impact the Philippines. And in order to impact the Philippines, you must understand the secret of the first century believers. Full of the Holy Spirit. And that is what I want to talk about in the next 2 weeks. Everybody, let's read this together. Experience the power of the Holy Spirit through radical obedience. I have one main point. Experience, everybody, the power of the Holy Spirit through what? Radical obedience. So what will I talk about? I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit, why is it important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what does He do, and how can you experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So it's all about the Holy Spirit. Who, what, how, okay? Comprende? So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, experience the power of the Holy Spirit through radical obedience. Notice, I use the word experience Because many Christians may know about the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, but you have not experienced the fullness of His power. What does it mean? That is what we'll talk about. For what purpose? To give glory to God, and for you and me to be able to accomplish His purpose for our lives. Let's review. Why is it so important? It is so important because Jesus reminded His disciples, everybody, let's read this in Acts 1:8. You will receive power, everybody, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Notice, Jesus tells His disciples, but. Now, every time you see the word but, you should look at the previous verses. The previous verses talks about the disciples asking Jesus, when are you coming again? When are you going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus is saying, look, don't worry about the future. Right now, you make sure you stay in Jerusalem and you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what purpose? Now, to understand, to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you must always connect it with purpose. What's the purpose, everybody? You will be my witnesses. So always connect the Holy Spirit with God's purpose. Now, God has a purpose for your life. He wants to empower you. Now, to understand Acts 1:8, you have to connect that with the same author, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. This is what he tells us. Acts 1:8 is connected with Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Let's read this together, everybody. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus told His disciples, stay in the city. You are going to wait. Wait for what? Everybody underline that. The promise of my Father. The Holy Spirit is God's promise for His people. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit is God's promise for you. You don't beg for the Holy Spirit. God wants to give us the Holy Spirit. But notice it is connected with power. This promise is in the Old Testament, all over the Old Testament. The book of Acts talks about Joel, chapter 2, remember? And he will pour out his spirit. I want to give you another promise found in the Old Testament. It's called Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Everybody, let's read this. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Look at what God is saying. God is saying, you and I need help. I need a new heart. My heart was a heart of stone. Years ago, I didn't care about God. I didn't care about Jesus. I had my own way of life. The day came when God did something in my life. He changed my heart. And that is what God wants to do in your life. You cannot change yourself. You need God's Spirit to give you a new heart. And He says, you will have a new heart. I will give you my Spirit. You see, the Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. The Christian life is not difficult. It is supernatural. And that's why I love the promise of God. God is saying, I want to help you. So Ezekiel chapter 37 tells us, let's read this one more time. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, in my ways. How else can you explain your life? Once upon a time, you were headed in one direction, and God did something. My friends, you are now beginning to understand why the Holy Spirit is important. I am not talking about religion. Religion does not change people from the inside out. Religion will just give you a list of do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do that. It's all about rituals. No, no. I'm talking about real transformation. The life of God in your life. You see, the life of God is supernatural. And God is saying, you need my life. Therefore, if you look at the New Testament, you will notice the believers in the midst of crisis, they have peace, they have joy. In the midst of persecutions, they show love. Today, you look at believers today. Do you see love in our midst? Do you see joy? I've seen many of God's people. They have joy, they have peace. But there are still many of us who are not full of joy, who are not full of peace. You know why? You are not experiencing the fullness of God's Spirit. You are not experiencing His power. Therefore, your Christian life is not contagious. I want your Christian life to be so contagious that when people look at you, they look at your family, they look at the way you walk, they will say, you know what? I want what you have. That's pretty good. I want what you have. Today, if people look at us, what will they say? You know, I was surprised at the recent research made by the Barna Research Group. The people from ages 18 to 28 in America, okay? They made a survey. Singles who are 18 to 28, if they've been involved in premarital sex, the statistics is staggering. 88% of singles in America today from ages 18 to 28 are engaged in premarital sex. What was surprising is the study for Christians, those who go to church, those who claim to be born again. Guess what is the statistics? Those who go to church, those who claim to be followers of Jesus, from ages 18 to 28, premarital sex, 80%. Now that's shocking. It should not be like that. I have discovered why. You see, it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to have the power to do it. You see, most of us, you know what to do. You know what God wants you to do. But the problem is this. Knowing and the power to do it are two different matters. And that is why it is important that you learn the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, somebody once shared this with me. After the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the next most important truth I must teach people is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the Christian life is supernatural. Look, the Bible tells us, love your enemies. Can you love enemies in your own power? The Bible tells us. Bless those who curse you. Forgive. We need supernatural power from on high. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is God. Look at this chart. God is a triunity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are equal. The Holy Spirit is not an it. That's why I don't like the word ghost, Holy Ghost. Remember we were singing, Holy Ghost. You're thinking, no. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, it is very sad that theologians has chosen the word Trinity. Trinity is not found in the Bible. But it is described, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, it is found in the Bible. But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. A better word is triunity. What do I mean? Let me explain to you. Triunity. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, this is the famous Shema. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Now, many Jewish people will not accept Christianity because they say it is a violation of Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Except they fail to realize God is amazing. The Hebrew Bible has different words for one. The first one is Yakid. Yakid is the numeric one. Absolute one. Example, my only son. Yakid, only one son. However, when it is describing God, it uses the word Ikad. What is the word Ikad? The Lord is one. That word is a compound unity. It's a compound oneness. Amazing. Example, how is this word one is used? The Lord is one. Well, in the book of Genesis, the word Ikad is described as follows. Example, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall be what? The two shall become one. The two, they shall become one. What kind of one? Ikad. Notice, my wife and I are two. We are distinct. But the Bible says in marriage, you become what? One. We are not teaching polytheism. No, one God, eternally existent in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not fully understand this. For example, do you fully understand when I tell you that God is omnipresent? Do you understand the concept of omnipresence? Meaning you can be in America, you can be in Israel, you can be here at the same time. Do you understand that? Or do you just believe it? Do you understand the meaning of eternity? God is eternal, no beginning, no end. Do you understand the meaning of being eternal? It's beyond your comprehension. Because we are created beings. We have a beginning. I remember talking to my children, explaining to them eternity. God has no beginning. And my sons began to think, no beginning. And finally, they said, ah! They said, and we're going crazy. You know why? They cannot think. It's beyond your comprehension because it's beyond your experience. Can you imagine somebody with no beginning? Before there was time, just think, before there was time, there was what? God. That's beyond my comprehension. Omniscience. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. Each one of us, He knows. At the same time, He knows. Now, explain to me. Can you comprehend omniscience? I cannot. Now, can you explain to me triunity of God? Somebody once shared this with us. If you try to fully understand the triunity of God, the Trinity, you will lose your mind. But if you deny it, you lose your soul. Now, you choose. Me, I am simple. I believe what the Bible says. God is one, but the Bible says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. For example, let me share with you an example. How is the Holy Spirit called? Everybody, let's read this together. Romans 8, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. I want to share with you how the Holy Spirit is called. Okay? For example, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, how is the Holy Spirit called? If indeed the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is called what? The Spirit of God. Comprende? Dwells in you. Now, how is the Holy Spirit called? Spirit of God. Look at the next verse. He is called what? The Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. He is called the Spirit of Christ. Everybody, let's read that verse. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. According to the Bible, who is a Christian? According to the Bible, who is a Christian? Somebody that has the Holy Spirit in his life. Perhaps some of you are beginning to understand why you don't have a real desire for God, why you don't have a real desire for Bible study. It is because you have religion, but you don't have the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God enters your life, you will never be the same. You see, once upon a time, I didn't care about Bible study. In fact, when I read the Bible, I fall asleep. But when the Spirit of God entered my life, and He began to work in my life, I cannot explain this. I began to have a desire. I began to have an appetite. That is the work of the Spirit of God. And in CCF, I want to make sure that you guys don't think this is religion. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So look at that verse one more time. Everybody, if the Spirit of Christ, okay? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. I'm not the one saying that. So coming to CCF, attending Bible study is wonderful. But that does not make you a Christian. So many people have religion. I have discovered in America, people have cultural Christianity, like the Philippines. In the Philippines, almost all of us are culturally Christian. We have certain Christian habits. We go on Sunday. We believe certain things. It's called cultural Christianity, but not a real Christian. A real Christian is you have the Spirit of Christ. Notice, how is the Spirit of Christ called? Look at verse 10. He's called Christ. If Christ is in you. Notice how the word is used interchangeably. Another example, how the Holy Spirit is called. Everybody, let's read this. Acts chapter 5. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now you have to understand, Ananias brought in offerings. He brought love gift to the church. But he was pretending. Example, if the love gift, example only, if the love gift is 100,000, okay? He was pretending he gave everything. Actually, he still has 900,000 in his bank account, okay? But he was pretending, "I give everything." Now, the Bible says, you are lying to the Holy Spirit. You kept back some of the price of the land. Now, let's read this. Verse 4, everybody. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? In other words, you are not forced to give everything. Understand? God wants a cheerful giver. But what God hates is hypocrites. So, continue reading. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Continue. Why is it, everybody read, that you have conceived this in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Notice, lying to the Holy Spirit and lying to God, same. So you begin to understand, when we baptize people in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, that's the meaning of triunity. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He is not an it. Comprende? Sí. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks. Example, look at the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit told Philip. The Holy Spirit said, look at Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaks. The only problem is this. Are you able to listen to the Holy Spirit? Remember during fasting and prayer? I've discovered a principle. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The problem is this. You're not able to hear. I've discovered a term. It's called ambient noise. Have you heard of ambient noise? You know, my sister-in-law, when we visited her, she gave us a machine. It's supposed to make noise so that you can sleep at night. It makes a steady noise. Okay? Now, my daughter, when she wants her son to sleep, she turns on a fan. It's a constant noise so that the baby will fall asleep. In counseling rooms in the States, in many counseling rooms, you have a machine. It's called the ambient voice generator. While they are counseling outside the room, there's a machine. You know why? So that you cannot eavesdrop, you cannot hear. Because the ambient noise will eat up the noise inside. Because of ambient noise, you cannot hear what's going on inside the counseling room. I realized the same thing with God. God speaks to us, but we are full of this ambient noise. We don't kind of be quiet. I call that the discipline of quiet time. the discipline of silence, the discipline of solitude. Most of you don't have that. What you have is the discipline of internet, the discipline of Facebook, the discipline of text. So the first thing you do in the morning, you begin to be busy. You have a lot of ambient noise. You cannot hear. God speaks. Comprende? How do you listen? I guarantee you, not in front of television, not in front of all of these computers. You need to learn to be alone. Spend time with the Lord. Not hurried time. You know why? If you are in a hurry, Lord, I have only 10 minutes. Speak now. Nothing's going to happen. So you need to have certain discipline. The Holy Spirit is a person. Notice, let's read this together. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What is the meaning of the word grieve? You know, the word grieve is used to describe somebody who is hurt because he loves you. If you do something bad and I don't love you, I'm indifferent. But if my children will do something that's bad, I am grieved. You know why I'm grieved? I feel sad for them. The Bible says God loves you. When you disobey Him, He's not angry. He's what? Grieved. This is amazing. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know why God speaks to us? He guides us. He tells us what to do. But if you don't follow, the Bible says He is grieved. And then continue. What can you learn about the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? Sealed. You are sealed. Now the word sealed is an amazing word in the original language. It is a mark of ownership. For example, you are a farmer. You have different cows, okay? Now how do you know this cow is yours? Do you think cow looks all the same? As far as I'm concerned, they all look the same, okay? I cannot tell, cow junior, cow... For me, they all look the same. However, to make sure that what is yours, they put a what? A stamp, okay? There's a seal. How do you know you belong to the Lord? God tells you, I give you a mark, a seal. That seal is the Holy Spirit. Who can tell? The demons, when they look at you, they know you belong to God. There's a seal. God knows, and you know. I cannot tell. I cannot see what's in your heart. Notice, when do you have the Holy Spirit? When does the Holy Spirit come to your life? When? Everybody, let's read this. In Him, everybody read, in Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So, you listen to the gospel, the good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead. That's the good news. Having what? So, when you believe, the grammar is simultaneously. Having also believed, what happens? You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now you begin to understand when the Bible uses the word the Holy Spirit of promise, it is God's heart, God's desire to give you His Holy Spirit. God is on your side. God is not against us. God wants you to have His supernatural life in order for you to have power to live life properly. Let me repeat, the Christian life is not what you do for God. It is what you allow God to do in you, through you. Comprende? The Christian life is not about what you are trying to do for God. Let me repeat. It is how you allow God to live His life in your life, through your life. And some of you are tired, you are struggling, you are discouraged. You know why? Because you are full of self-power. And that's why you don't have joy. When I look at your face, some of you, up to now, nakasimangot pa kayo. Will you please smile at me? Smile. Yeah. And then when you smile to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, God loves you. Tell your neighbor. Yeah. Are you rested? Are you a rested Christian? Or are you really trying? You know, I have learned to rest in the Lord. Lord, control me. Fill me. Everybody, let's read that. In Him, everybody read. Okay? Having sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Notice, you have an amazing inheritance. But the down payment, that's the word for pledge. The down payment is the Holy Spirit, with a view of the redemption of God's own possession. In other words, God is saying, you are, the Holy Spirit is a seal, it's a mark of ownership, it is a guarantee, it is your security. People ask me, how can you be sure when you die you'll go to heaven? Very simple. God has put his mark in my life. I belong to the Lord. Now, is it possible to have the Holy Spirit at the same time disobey him? Of course it's possible. And that's why I want to teach you. How do you experience the fullness? Let me repeat. If you receive Jesus Christ by faith, if you believe in him, do you have the Holy Spirit? Louder.
Yes.
Yes. But are you experiencing the power of the fullness? That's another story you must experience. And how do you experience this? Well, let me share with you. Example of supernatural power. I want to show you how the Holy Spirit changes us, okay? Let's read this together, everybody. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Notice the Holy Spirit is called what? The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Meaning you have freedom. Freedom from bad habits, freedom from legalism, freedom from all kinds of bondages. Continue reading. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. Notice, being transformed, passive voice. Who is doing the transforming? The Holy Spirit. You are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord, the Spirit. God comes into your life and he begins to transform you. Day by day, moment by moment. You may not know this. You may not even realize what is happening in your life, but he comes into your heart and he begins to transform you moment by moment. Do you understand how God transforms us? It's supernatural. For example, I read somewhere in the Bible, I'll show you in a short while, but don't look at it now, just look at me now. The Bible tells people who are robbers. What is robbers in Tagalog? Magnanakaw. You know, God tells this magnanakaw, don't steal. But the Bible does not stop there. God says, you work. The Bible does not stop there. God says, yung mga magnanakaw, stop stealing, you work so that you can share with others. Wow. Unbelievable. Oh, I'll show you the verse. Ephesians 4:28. Everybody read this. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather, he must work. No, not just work. Performing work with his own hands, what is good, so that he will have something to share. That, my friend, is the supernatural work of God. Look at the men in this in CCF. There are many men here, okay? Once upon a time, men, I hope you don't mind if I tell the truth about a lot of men. Womanizer. A lot of men are womanizer. But now they come to Christ. Look at them. They change. Instead of womanizing, they have only one woman. They womanize one woman. They become faithful. They go home. You know why? It is supernatural power. This morning, I've asked a sister to share with us how God's Spirit can change somebody. Let us welcome Sister Teresa, okay? Let's welcome our sister.
I used to be called Sister Therese. I was given this name when I took my vow and professed as a nun more than 30 years ago. Where we are called to live a life of poverty by renouncing world and earthly possession. Our daily life consisted only of continuous prayers, fasting, and chores. We are not allowed to go out of the convent and see our family and friends, unlike other nuns. We were shut from the outside world. The convent was my home for over two decades, where I felt secure because everything we need was well provided for by my generous benefactors. I firmly believe in God, and I wanted to devote my life to him Even at the early age, I wanted to serve him. That is why I entered the nunnery. But after several years of living in the monastery, I battled with question that I could not find meaning despite my religious state. Question like, who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? Since then, I knew God has been working in my life. I prayed that He would grant me discernment to know the truth and the courage to be honest to myself and to the congregation. As time went, I came to realize that I was not fit to be in the convent anymore. I cannot go on living the enclosed life. I was empty, worn out, and confused. So I made the hard decision to leave the monastery, and by God's grace, I was allowed to go out, not knowing what to expect. When I got out, I had many fears. I was afraid to face my family and what people will think of me. There were persecutions, and I was subject to gossip as to reason why I came out. I have nowhere to go, no job, no income. I have to seek help from my siblings and relatives who were shocked with my decision. But God began to work in me by bringing me to the institution where I had to soul search and learn about myself. My 6 months stay there encouraged me and allowed me to rebuild myself and face the world. God blessed me with a job. I even have suitors and almost got married. But I have decided to remain single and just continue to put my prayer and devoted life to God. But life was not easy. Living inside the convent during the best and fruitful years of my life made it hard for me to adjust to life's challenges. I was ignorant of so many things. I got discouraged with people and circumstances. I learned things the hard and painful way. I was exposed to many temptations. I even encountered the shake my moral and spiritual conviction. But I kept holding on to God, trusting that He allowed me to be here for a very important reason. Then 2009 came when I saw my niece, who is from CCF, during the wedding of her brother. She told me that she is already a born-again Christian. When I learned that, I felt sad and thought she got lost to another religion. Since then, my niece kept texting me biblical messages and showed me God's love by ministering to my spiritual as well as my physical needs. I found myself enlightened with the text messages that she was sending. She gave me a Bible and advised me to attend biblical foundation classes here at CCF because of my many questions about the God, the Bible, and myself. By grace of God, I was inspired to listen to the Bible teachers. I learned so much about God's Word. The Lord broke through my heart, and He opened my eyes to His truth. My question about God, eternity, and myself were all found in the Bible. When I was a nun, I prayed a lot with memorized and religious prayers, but never really need and studied the Bible. The Lord spoke to me through His Word and revealed to me His wonderful plans for me. I was amazed at the fact that salvation is by grace and not by works, because all my life, I thought that all things that I did as a nun will merit my salvation. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I was assured of God's great and unconditional love for me, that while I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, that he came that I may live in him and have it abundantly. I do not have to live in poverty to be approved by God. I should no longer be tormented when I fell short in my service for him, because he has accomplished what I cannot. I was set free and made new by Jesus. Though life is still hard, I can rejoice in the Lord, because I know that this life, not all there is. I have a place in heaven reserved by God that awaits me. By God's grace, I completed all GLC Level 1 courses and recently graduated from GLC Level 2. I am still learning so much about the Lord and my daily walk with Him and the relationship with others. I am also a part of a D group now where I am being discipled. I am Angelita Cruz, a former nun, and now a follower of Jesus, found and made new in him. To God, all be glory.
We will pray for our sister. It's amazing how God can transform lives. If you look at her life, God began to work in her life by letting her feel a sense of emptiness, even though you can be religious, but you are empty. And slowly, God moved in her heart. Do you know that her meeting her niece is never an accident? Her niece sending her the text was never an accident, because God has ordained before the foundation of the world what you and I are supposed to do to influence the lives of others. My only advice is, let us be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray for our sister. Father God in heaven, I thank you for Sister Therese. I pray that you continue to guide her, protect her, and Lord, expand her borders. Let her find real joy in the ministry through grace, not legalism. Help her experience the freedom we have in Christ. And above all, I pray for her provisions, for her protections, for her future. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, how do you experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Remember, I said radical obedience. Everybody, let's look at this verse. The presence of the Holy Spirit versus the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'm going to expand on this verse. But right now, let's read this, everybody. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me explain quickly. Here's the analogy of being filled with the Spirit. The analogy is getting drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Now, those of you who have been drunk once in your life, at least you know what the Bible is talking about. Those of you who have not been drunk, but you have seen movies, you know what it's all about. When you are drunk because you drink too much alcohol, example, people who are drunk, they don't walk straight line, okay? What do? They kind of, you know, move around. You are controlled by another spirit. It's called the spirit of San Miguel, okay? Or the spirit of Tanduay. Whatever it is, all right? Now, the point is this. You will do what you don't normally do if you are drunk. You become loud. You speak. I mean, you act not normally. You will do what you normally will not do. If you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the same thing will happen. You will begin to do what you normally will not do. For example, normally, I want to have my own space. You want to have your own space. I don't want to share the gospel. Normally, I don't want to bother people. But when you're controlled by the Spirit, you want to go out of your way. You want to share the gospel. Normally, you and I don't want to forgive people. Why do you want to keep forgiving people? But when you're filled by the Spirit, you will do what you normally will not do. You forgive. You love unconditionally. When people shout at you, normally you will react, but because of the Holy Spirit, you will now begin to do something differently. That's the meaning. But in order to experience that power, you need to do what? Radical obedience. Because the Holy Spirit tells you something, but you got to do it in order to experience the power. Remember years ago, I shared with you my own experience. There was somebody I was asked to go. The person was sick. He was dying. They asked me to go, pray for him, visit him. In my mind, I don't want to see this guy because he did bad things against us, against my family, against myself. And I was telling myself, why would I visit this man? If I pray for him, he might get well. He might live. If I share the gospel with him, he might get saved. Why do I want to do all of that? I don't want to see this guy. But you know what? The Holy Spirit spoke in my heart. The Holy Spirit said, are you my follower? Follow me. I want you to go. You see? Radical obedience. I didn't feel like going. I went. When I knocked in the house, I was not feeling well. I don't want to go. In fact, I was hoping I'll get sick, I'll have high fever. Well, but I just went. So when I went there and they opened the door, brought me to the bedroom, when they opened the bedroom and the guy stood up and shook my hands, you know the most amazing thing happened. When I stretched out my hand, something happened. I cannot explain this. My love for him came. That's called what? Supernatural power. I don't want to love this guy, but I obeyed. Radical what? Obedience. So when God tells you something, and you know the Holy Spirit is inside you, you listen, you do it. Then you experience the power. You don't wait for the feeling, and then you do it. No, no. To experience His power, you do first. You obey, and then the power comes. For example, let me share with you. In the Bible, okay, when God's Spirit comes, there's always a job to do. In order to experience His power, you must know God's Spirit and God's purpose. They always go together. For example, in Judges 3, verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came. Judges 11, 29, the Spirit of the Lord came. Judges 14, 6, the Spirit of the Lord came. In other words, there is always a mission to do. But you got to obey to experience the power. So let me close with a very nice story. How do you experience the power? In a story form. Well, let me share with you. It's about Gideon. Let's read this together. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Look at me. Gideon was scared. Gideon was hiding. When he encountered the angel of God, the Lord told him, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Everybody look. Look at that verse. Gideon is called a valiant warrior. No, no, no. He was coward. He was hiding. He never fought. He never had any experience. But God says, you are a valiant warrior. You know why? The Holy Spirit is God's power to change us. God was going to change Gideon. So God took the initiative. And then the Bible tells us, Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us," everybody read, "if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us, giving us into the hand of the Midian." You know, sometimes you feel discouraged. You know why? You think God has abandoned you. Some of you have financial problems, health problems. I don't know what problem you have, but you are like Gideon. You're discouraged. Lord, how can you be with me? You have abandoned us. Look at all my prayer requests. They are not answered. You know, I visited somebody recently in the funeral, and my heart goes out for this family. They prayed for healing, but for whatever reason, the person died. But by the grace of God, the person heard the gospel before he died. But the point is, there is grief, there is pain, and sometimes you feel like, Lord, what's happening? Well, that's what Gideon was thinking. Can I tell you something? Walk by faith, not by feeling. If you feel like God is not with you, you got to do the opposite. Every time you are discouraged, you must know, you must remember, this is now God's opportunity to show me His power, to show me His reality. Let me repeat, every time you are disappointed with life, every time you are discouraged like Gideon, you must say, God, this is your opportunity to show yourself real in my life. Okay? That's the truth. God tells Gideon, yeah, circumstances are bad, but you know what? I still love you. I'm with you. The Lord looked at him. The Lord said, Gideon, go in this your strength. Deliver Israel. Have I not sent you? You see, it's opportunity. When you feel discouraged, when you feel bad, you like giving up, God is saying, I am with you. I'm going to help you. You know how Gideon replied? Just like you. Gideon said, oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? My family is the least in Manasseh. I am the youngest in my father's house. You see, he looked at himself. Some of you are discouraged, really. I know some young people, they struggle with pornography. Perhaps they struggle with sex. You feel like there's no way I can overcome this. Look at me. Do not underestimate God's power, but you got to do radical obedience. You must do what God wants you to do. You know what God wanted Gideon to do? Everybody read this. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. You shall defeat Midian. So what did God do with Gideon? God taught Gideon, in order to experience my power, do radical obedience. You don't feel like you can do it? Follow me. First step, God told him, get rid of the idols in your family. That's easy. But it's not easy for Gideon. You know why? He was afraid of his father. The first command God gave Gideon is called radical obedience. Begin with small things. Start in your house. Get rid of the idols. You know what Gideon did? The Bible tells us, Gideon took 10 men of his servants, did as the Lord had spoken to him, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city. So he did it by night. In other words, he destroyed the idols of his family. When? At night. He took baby steps. He was afraid of his father. He was afraid of the family. You must take baby steps. Once you begin to take baby steps, remember, to experience the fullness of God, what must you do? Radical obedience. Look at our sister. It was scary for the sister to get out of the monastery. It was scary for our sister to come to Jesus. Am I correct? It's like, you know, for this country, there's a lot of scary things you do. You have peer pressure. What will people say? What will they do? It's like my friend. Years ago, we have a member who was a mistress. She was being supported by a guy who is married. But her comfort zone was a relationship with this guy. The guy provides everything, house, lot, car, everything. But she came to know the Lord, and the Lord began to move in her heart. You want to experience God's power? Radical obedience. The Lord told her, you got to break that relationship. That is a sinful relationship. The guy is married, let go. You know what she did? She told the guy, I'm sorry. We cannot see each other anymore. The guy said, got the gun. Who is the guy? And then the girl said, Jesus. The guy said, wala akong laban kay Jesus. If it is Jesus, okay. So he let her go. Can I tell you something? God took care of this lady. But God's provision did not come. It came after she broke the relationship. Radical obedience. You know, in the case of Gideon, the Bible tells us, because of radical obedience, all the problems came. The Midianites, the Amalekites came. Look at verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. If you see the Bible, the men God uses are men who are willing to step out in faith, not depending on themselves, but on the Lord. Now, you know the end of the story, right? The story is very simple. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. And you know what God told Gideon? The most amazing thing. Radical obedience. God told Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. They're too many for me to give Israel to you. You will become proud. So God told Gideon, bawasan ninyo yan. 32,000, bawasin natin. So, Gideon did something that's crazy. He said, okay, yung mga duwag, umuwi na kayo. So, 22,000 left. 10,000 left. Now, if you are Gideon, how do you feel now? With your army of 32,000, now 10,000 left. Will you be excited? You know what God said? 10,000! Still too many. Because it's still too many. Cut it down. So they cut it down. Finally, how many are left? 300. Now, if you are Gideon, what will you do? Radical obedience. God says, I will deliver you with 300 men only. You know why? God is saying, you want to experience my power? Look at me. Do you want to experience God's power in your life every day? Yes or no? All right, do radical obedience. Whatever God tells you to do, it may not make sense. Do it. I know God's speaking to you. I won't be surprised today if God has spoken to you. Some of you, break up that relationship. Some of you, stop cheating the government. For some of you, stop doing what is wrong. Just follow God. You do it. Radical obedience. And you know, finally, you know what God told Gideon with 300 men? It's the craziest instructions I've ever heard in my life. You know why? The Lord said, everybody read this. They blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand. Can you imagine? Left hand torches, right hand trumpet. Where is the sword? And then you're supposed to keep blowing. Okay, 300 men against, the Bible says, countless Midianites. You cannot count. Hundreds of thousands. Wow. And what will I do? Broke the pitcher so the light will come up and blow the trumpet. Where is my sword? Relax lang. You know what God will do? This is the end of the story. Huh? The Lord set the sword of one against another throughout the army, and all of them, they fled. They began killing each other. Is God amazing, yes or no? You know why? This is the principle, everybody. The word of the Lord says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Question. First question, do you have God's spirit in your life? Question number two. If you have God's Spirit in your life, He's in full control. Look at me. Full control. I'm going to explain that next week. What does it mean, full control? Listen to me. 99% will not do. 90% obedience will not do. 95% obedience will not do. In order to experience the fullness of God's power, everybody, 100% obedience. Let's bow our heads. If you're scared to obey the Lord, if you're reluctant to obey the Lord because you're afraid, God is telling you, I want to be faithful to you. God is saying, I want to manifest my power in your life. But is there anything in your life? Is there any sin in your life that is preventing God from manifesting His power in your life? You got to surrender that to the Lord. Will you pray privately? Father God in heaven, I know you have spoken to us. There may be some people here this morning. They're holding on to something. They have obeyed you 90%. But Lord, there is this 10% that they are clinging on. Will you give us the grace to surrender 100% to you? Right now, wherever you are, I want to pray for you. If there is something that God wants you to give up, you want me to pray for you, quietly raise your hand. Yes, anybody else? You want me to pray for you? There is something you're holding back. Okay, anybody else? You raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Yes. There is something you're holding back. And God is saying you got to surrender that. There is something you are not obeying. You got to obey. Anybody else? Yes. Be honest with God. That's the key. Be honest with Him. No looking around. Just you and the Lord. Wonderful. All right, let's bow our heads, everybody. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for these men and women who have signified, they have listened to your voice, and you want them to do something, but they are not doing it. You want them to give up on something, but they have not given it up. Lord God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is real, that Spirit of the living God, be the one to keep on working the lives of these people. Give us the courage and the faith to trust you. Help us to experience your power through radical obedience. In Jesus' name.
All right, one more time before we get up out of here. Can you do anything? Come on, shout it out, my God, say.
He's got the power.